minutes past three. And Alex Newton is here, all the way from Beeston. Hello, Alex. It's hot out there, isn't it?
It is very muggy, yes.
Hot
and quite humid.
And muggy and humid. I had to pull my blind down earlier on because it was getting a bit bright as well with the sunshine. Anyway, you're coping well with it, I trust?
Yeah, yes, thank
you. Good. And it is the interesting week. I think, you know, a lot of people back to work, certainly children back to school, so we can pick up on that. Also thinking about journeys made over the holiday period, people might have noticed sort of aches and pains which they hadn't had before, having been cooped up in a car or on a bus or on a plane. So you can help with things like that, can't you?
Yes.
Should we start with children going back to school? Yes. You have a concern about
it. We do have a concern because children are vulnerable to spinal problems. And I think if we can be aware of various things that we can do to minimise long-term problems that can start to materialise at this young, tender age, making parents aware, and grandparents particularly as well, because a lot of them look after the children too, of what's actually going on and the dangers that can be brought about by going back to school, which is a bit frightening, really.
I mentioned earlier that a lesson learnt and a habit formed in teenage years could be very good for the rest of their life if they understand the need to sit correctly.
Absolutely. If we can install good posture, good habits, and let the parents set an example on how things should be carried out with regards to how they're sitting at the table, at the desk, then it will certainly minimise the risks of long-term problems, and then they will carry on those good habits through the rest of their lives.
Are there some basic pointers and tips that you can pass on for protecting children's spines?
Well, when we talk about going back to school, probably one of the biggest concerns that we have these days, particularly with more of the secondary school children, is them carrying around heavy bags and rucksacks and things like that. So it's one thing to get the right bag, get the right rucksack, but actually you need to ask yourself, am I carrying that correctly? Is it adjusted to my size and form? The bag should be kept very close to the body, the strap should be relatively short, so the rucksack should be carried quite high up on the back rather than down in the small of the back, where it will cause the back to extend, and this can cause lots of added strain to the joints and the muscles. But also I'm afraid teenagers particularly have the habit of carrying it on the one shoulder, and if we can try and install a habitual wearing it properly, then again that would be most helpful. The weight of it is also a great concern, and again children think, well, we'll carry the whole lot to school every single day so we don't forget something, but maybe a little bit of discipline and organisation to get the right books for the right day each day, so they're not carrying all their textbooks every day, which will obviously create a huge amount of stress on their backs on a day-to-day basis.
Something else which is perhaps different from when you and I were growing up is the use of handheld devices, that sort of close-up viewing of a tablet or a smartphone. I mean, I, as a teenager, probably slouched horribly in front of the television set. But now you do see people almost sort of curved into a circle as they hunch over their little tiny screen, don't you?
Yes, the children particularly, if you look at them, they're working on iPads, tablets and phones. And when you see them looking at them, they have them on their laps and their head is fully flexed, their chin almost onto their chest. And we're going to call this Pokemon neck or Pikachu neck, because the children are really straining the back of their necks. And then they're going to start getting headaches and neck and shoulder problems rather than the lower back problems that we've seen in the past for other types of problems. So really sitting back, supporting the neck and shoulders, having a full support right up to the back of the head, perhaps cushions, and limiting the time that they're using them is going to be one of the biggest things. 30 to 40 minute sessions at a time, almost impossible to install, but being aware of that and maybe just putting timers on to let them get up and have a stretch and move about will be certainly more beneficial than what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, I think in a teenager's mind, being told to stop that because otherwise you'll end up with round shoulders or a bad back, the teenager just thinks, oh, you're just nagging at me. If you can get that notion instilled at a younger age, and we have to accept, I think, that, you know, toddlers are entranced by the screens on the smartphones and tablets, aren't they? But if they understand that 30 or 40 minutes is, well, know, the maximum you do as a toddler, perhaps even less than that. But, you know, parents have to get in there early, don't they, and set the rules.
Yes, but they could change the posture. They don't always have to be in the same posture. This is the thing we're trying to install, that if they insist on having it more than sort of 30, 40 minutes, then maybe a different posture, perhaps roll onto their tummy, lying on the floor, looking at a different angle so the head's extended rather than the head is flexed. And as I said, sitting on a settee that's perhaps more supported with a head up and having the iPad or laptop on their knees, so they're looking more straight ahead rather than down onto their laps.
And exercise is key, isn't it, to maintaining flexibility? Always good for anybody to think about some stretching and moving about, and perhaps parents and grandparents could engage in a little bit of exercise, fun exercise that the children do as well.
We've got two extremes there. We've got the children that don't exercise enough, and yes, obviously we need everybody to help encourage them, keeping them moving, and just kicking a football around the garden after school or something like that at the weekends, going out for nice walks and things, or bike rides, ideal to try and get them away from those screens. But also we've got to look at the group of children that do excessive amounts of exercise, and particularly obviously having the Olympics and the World Cup, the games, football and rugby this last year or two. There's a lot more encouragement for children to participate in these sports, but we've again got to be wise and worldly aware that excessive amounts of sport can lead to repetitive strain injuries, and also obviously the collisions involved, particularly with things like rugby and football, can cause trauma. And again, trying to encourage the children to be aware if there is an injury, to get it addressed early on, to seek the advice and support from perhaps their local chiropractor, but also to make sure that they stretch properly, and particularly the hamstrings and the groins muscles, and they're the two that tend to cause the major problems when they're running along. You get some spontaneous injuries if you haven't warmed and up and stretched properly. So being aware, limiting the amount of sport that they do, make sure there's plenty of rest time in between games and matches, and also warming up properly, warming down properly, and getting those injuries addressed quite early on before they compound.
On BBC Radio Nottingham, you're going to be enjoying Verity Cowley after 4 o'clock, Mark Royce from 7 and Graham Torrington from 10 tonight. Good entertainment for you here on BBC Radio Nottingham, and good advice too, such as that coming from Alex Newton from Beeston Chiropractic, with a few thoughts, as you've heard, on youngsters and how getting the posture right, getting the bag right, don't wear it on one shoulder. Of course, the notion of sort of like wearing a satchel across the body is, you know, some people see that as a bit swattish, basically.
They're quite vogue, I think, satchels these days. Okay. But it's all about balance, isn't it? To wear it across the body is going to distribute the weight, and any bag with a long strap to distribute the weight across the body is much better than carrying it on one shoulder. Yes, then you've got sort of, I've got two bags, so you're going to do the crisscross bit, which again, for the smaller children, would probably be more acceptable, because once the time, you know, they're taking sports kits backwards and forwards to school, swimming things, perhaps musical instruments, reading books and that sort of thing. So trying to balance the body as evenly as possible. It's all about symmetry and equalising the weight. And those little spines, really, if in a rule of thumb, you shouldn't be carrying more than 10% of your body weight. And some of those children are quite tiny and carrying quite big bags. So again, try and support them where you can. As much as we want to encourage children to walk to school or cycle to school, if they have got heavy bags on particular days, perhaps give them some extra support and take them in for them.
When you are faced with somebody of whatever age coming in, and you know, you meet them for the first time, you must sometimes think, gosh, if only you'd have thought about this 5, 10, 15 years ago, because now you're trying to make them right, and you're trying to put right bad habits and bad postures that have grown up.
I think if we help them understand perhaps when the problem started to materialise, I often sort of think, oh yes, I was here then, you could have come then when it went wrong to start with, and now it's going to take us a long time to get this sorted out, and a lot of work on your part as well as my part with regards to re-educating those postural habits, and obviously getting muscles and joints not only moving again but exercising and strong and stable again. Yes, if we can get those ideas installed at an early age, as we are with the children, hopefully now, then that will minimise risks later in life.
And it, well, and then later in life, if you do notice a twinge or a strange pain that's starting to develop, do something about it straight away. Don't think, oh, that's going to go away. I sort of say this, as you know, while Lindisfarne were playing, I said to you, I've got this weird thing. It's only started in the last 6 months when I drive for any length of time. slight pain in my lower back on the left-hand side above the hip, which goes down into my leg. And I keep thinking, that's just age, it'll go away.
We have a three-day rule, really.
Yeah.
We all get aches and pains and twinges every now and again, and they are warning signs for our bodies for us to change position so that we're not straining our bodies. But if you've got something that's persisting past 3 days a week, maybe even, and it's not subsiding, or you go back and do similar things and you find that the problem keeps returning, such as driving your car, it means that there is a problem there. Your body's screaming at you to say, get this sorted out. We usually say, listen to your body whispering, don't wait for it to scream.
Thank you for that. And I suggested early on in the conversation that we all travel a bit more. Many people travel a bit more through the summer holiday. They go on longer journeys. So it may have just flagged something up. You might think back to the coach or the train or the car journey or the plane journey that you've had in the last few weeks and think, oh, yeah, I did have that. I've never noticed that before. This is the time to do something about it.
If it's starting to be a recurring problem, yes. I mean, we all have one-off aches and pains, but recurring problems really... the problem is, if it starts recurring, that the body starts to compensate in different ways. So, again, it might disappear, but then something else can precipitate or trigger it later. And getting it checked out early on is always recommended.
So when you work with somebody doing your chiropractic, it is a sort of a manipulation of joints, particularly on the spine, isn't it? Do you also then give people an idea of exercises they might do in the comfort of their own home?
Absolutely. The period of time that they're with us in the office, in the clinic, is obviously quite limited. So the treatment is of paramount importance, but also equal to that is that we educate the patient not just on exercise and rehabilitation, getting them back to exercises that they want to do, but what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, whether it's how they sit in the car or at work or how they do their particular sports or anything down to their position lying in bed, etc., etc. So the whole works really, we have to look at the whole lifestyle to ensure that they're not doing something else that's undoing what we're trying to achieve.
It is back to school, maybe for others back to work, perhaps a change of jobs after the summer break. And it might be that now you've got a case to carry to work or a bag of stuff that you need. What are your top tips for avoiding any strains and stresses there?
Briefcases, although very good at keeping your folders and documents very nice and flat, again you're looking at that asymmetry in your posture, holding the briefcase, pulling you down to one side. Laptops similarly, if you're holding them in one hand, again, if there's a nice long strap, put them across your body, or have two bags, two briefcases would be better than one, which obviously doesn't leave your hands free for opening doors and things like that. But again, balancing that weight, but ultimately perhaps going either towards a rucksack and having that highly placed on your back, nice and snug, or maybe a little trolley bag or trolley briefcase, perhaps be more suitable if there is a lot of things to carry about.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. And I know people have benefited much from chiropractic techniques over the years, and you're based at the Beeston Chiropractic Clinic. Okay, so that's Alex Newton. We'll join up with you again in a couple of months' time.
Thank you very much.
Probably doing pre-Christmas thoughts
something like
then,
that,
will we?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Or into the loft to get those Christmas decorations down.
How to manhandle a Christmas tree without hurting yourself. Yeah, lovely stuff, Alex. See you soon. Thank you.